In one corner of one country, in one continent, on one planet, that's a corner of a galaxy, that's a corner of a universe, that's a corner of a multiverse, that is forever growing and shrinking and creating and destroying and never remaining the same for a single millisecond. Two people are about to eat sandwiches and talk about science, software, and stuff. Welcome to the Geekly Chronicles!
We've got a whole bunch of cool stuff that we're going to try and do this week.
We have.
Let's tell you what we're going to do. We are playing music, which is lovely. The music, if you're listening back on the podcast, is not available to you because it adds several zeros onto the licensing cost. But we will be playing some music for this, and we would love to play your requests. So get tweeting at us. You can email studio@gkly.co or at geeklychronicles.com if you feel like typing a bit more stuff. You can also text us. If you look on the website, all of the details for how to get in touch with the show are there. You can even give us a call and leave us a voicemail, and we'll do something with that as well. Listen to it, maybe laugh about it, maybe even put you on air. Who knows?
Scary.
But other stuff we've got coming up on this week's show. We've also got Bad Song of the Week, where Chris and I will be picking a truly awful song, and you, as our listeners, will have to vote as to whether you think Chris's song is truly awful or whether you think my song is truly awful. Coming up, we also have a couple of different guests on the show. What have we got after that?
Well, after that, after our first guest, we're going to chat about the topic of net neutrality and all of the fun surrounding that. We've got a report coming in from China a bit later on.
Yeah, absolutely. China and net neutrality. It's, you know, net neutrality seems like a conversation that's been done to death a bit.
Yes. So let's throw China in the mix.
Yeah. About how net neutrality actually fares across the world and not just over here where we're all
indeed
all Westy. It's like, I don't know, I was trying to think of something amusing to say about being a Western person, but the only thing I can think of is West Side, and that's awful.
That's just shocking.
Yeah, for those people listening, actually did the actions,
yes,
and everything.
I can confirm it was quite the experience.
Yeah, we've also got something we like to call the Tumble Fumble coming
indeed
up, in which our good friend Catherine, who is the minion behind our Tumblr account, eccentric Tumble person, and she loves cheese and sci-fi. She actually runs a Tumblr and a Twitter account that has like 20 years of back articles from Star Trek magazine and stuff in it. It's very cool. She's going to be on the show to talk about her favorites and some of the most weird and wonderful Tumblr blogs that so that'd be quite fun. And a bit of a change from the discussion of net neutrality. It's like, here's net neutrality, and here's some, you know, here's some cats holding a loaf of bread up to the sun.
Sounds about right.
Other things that we find on Tumblr. We've also got another guest this
week,
haven't we? Who's that then?
This is the chiptune artist Tiesu. Mm-hmm. Will be joining us. A new track, rather.
Yes, put your hands up if you like chiptune. I tell?
How are we supposed to? Give us a wave on Twitter or IRC or whatever if you're a fan of the whole chip tune.
Can I not see people's hands on this thing? Is that not something that we can do?
I don't think so.
Okay. You could also jump into the IRC chat. It's the GKLY room on Freenode. We're in there, and you can let us know as well. People are indeed putting their hands up in the IRC chat as I watch it here on the screen. So we've got even more stuff. I mean, weird news. We've got your requests, like I said, but also a competition.
Ooh,
we haven't actually quite decided what the criteria for giving this away is yet.
No,
so it might just be whoever is, you know, the most interacting with the show.
Yes. So, you know, interact. And have we decided what the prize is?
A takeaway.
Excellent.
We're going to buy someone dinner tonight.
Excellent.
Or indeed lunch, or indeed breakfast if you're in Australia, or indeed... I don't know. What do people in Papua New Guinea eat?
Meals. Buy you a meal.
Depending on where you are in the world, we will buy you some kind of meal. And it will be something that we will order online for you. And we would like you to tell us how it is before the show is finished as well, assuming it arrives in time.
Your fortnightly dose of random geekage. It's the Geekly Chronicles.
Yes, a very different studio to the studio from the first series as well.
Indeed.
I can actually look, I can see grass.
Yes.
It's amazing. And
I can see table.
It's, well, yes. It's still light.
Yes.
And you can see me and I can see you. It's
indeed.
Always nice. So nice to see people active in the IRC. We've had some people tweeting as well. We've had a request here from Tom, regular listener, hoping that we play Stockholm Syndrome by One Direction or something by Beyonce or Nicki. I'm guessing that's Nicki Minaj.
I'm going to guess so.
So if anyone else actually thinks we should play any of that stuff, get in touch.
Mm-hmm. Or if they think we shouldn't.
Yeah, and on songs that we probably shouldn't play, Chris, what is your bad song of the week?
Well, my bad song of the week is what I believe to be the most terrible song in existence at the moment, and that is I Really Like You by Carly Rae Jepsen.
So
you have a listen.
You really don't like it?
I really don't like it.
You don't like that song by Carly Rae Jepsen?
No.
And that's the one that starts off with that?
Yes.
That.
Indeed.
It's a lovely song, isn't it?
Loop that over and over again?
Yeah, that would be better.
There are people in the chat room already reacting badly to this song,
okay.
Which is excellent.
But is it worse than my bad song of the week?
That is the question. What's your bad song of the week?
It's Still In Love With You by Electro Velvet. Now, you may not have heard this song, and I'm not surprised, because Electro Velvet, Still In Love With You, is actually the UK's Eurovision entry for this year. And not only do I think it sounds like it was a band that only just got formed and is made up of quarter finalists from bad reality TV shows and impersonators, because it is. I also think it is just one of the most boring, musically awful, repetitive songs I have ever heard. That song is a bit more like that. Which is, yeah.
That, I see your point.
So, we would like to know which song you think is the worst song of the week. Is it? Or is it? Is it Chris's Carly Rae Jepsen or my Electro Velvet? Make sure you tweet at us, email us, send a bat signal up to the moon. Just tell us which of those songs you think is good and which of those songs you think is not good. Apparently in the chat room they're saying electro swing is never and will never be a thing. Ross says that Carly Rae is definitely the worst one of those two. So mixed reactions. Let's see what people think towards the end of the show. But moving on to one of our discussion topics for the evening, thinking about the fact that we are able to sit here and podcast and talk about songs that we hate without having Carly Rae Jepsen's people show up at the door and arrest us.
Well,
because
so
we
far.
Yes, well, because generally we have a reasonably free and open internet that we're able to actually cast this stuff on. So net neutrality, it's been in the news a lot over the past few years, hasn't it?
Yes.
There's been all this stuff around and SOPA and all the other apps. Actually, at first I thought that SOPA stood for the Scottish Organic Producers Association, which is sopa.org.uk.
Indeed.
But actually, SOPA stands for the Stop Online Piracy Act. The long title for that was apparently to promote... in a really bad American accent, because this is an American bill.
To promote
prosperity, creativity, and entrepreneurship... and innovation by combating the theft of U.S. property and for other purposes.
You're quite right. That was probably the worst American accent I have ever heard.
Yes, well, it's not as bad as my British accent, which is just terrible. Yeah, absolutely. So there's a whole lot of talk around online privacy. The act that was really designed to be a Stop Piracy Act ended up being something that was very far-reaching. So what do you think, Chris, about net neutrality?
Well, net neutrality is a big one, a big topic, because you've got things like the Stop Online Piracy Act, which are designed to shut down piracy and stop the whole theft of copyrighted material. But then the net neutrality thing stretches further. So the basic kind of principle on net neutrality is the ISPs, I think this all started in America, the ISPs in America... didn't have enough money, they decided, so they wanted to charge their subscribers to access services and the content providers at the other end. So if you wanted to watch Netflix on, say, Comcast, you would pay Comcast for your broadband, and Netflix would pay Comcast for the ability to stream to your broadband. Which, you know, sucks, really. I'm going to be honest with you. If you're paying for internet service, why should your providers have to pay as well? And does that also mean that if you want to watch Netflix, Comcast, for instance, you can't then watch Amazon Prime because they haven't agreed with a deal with Comcast and they're not paying for the same sort of thing?
So I guess it's a bit like you pay for your electricity at home. You know, you get that piped into your house as we have here in this lovely studio.
Indeed.
We have electricity piped in.
The wind-up studio wasn't working quite as well.
No. It would have been more energy efficient. But yes. So we have electricity pumped in here. And if suddenly the electricity company were to say that actually, if I wanted to plug a computer in to my electrical power supply, then Apple would have to get involved in that transaction.
Exactly.
Or whoever made the computer would have to get involved in that transaction. So if we think of the internet, or data services, if you like, as a utility, as a basic human right, a basic human need.
Which is what they're trying to classify it as in the fight for net neutrality.
So so essentially that's like saying you can only drink water if you put cordial in it, if you put squash in it, because Robinsons are sponsoring the water supply at the moment.
Exactly.
And so essentially this would be a case of, well, you can't use a competitor to Netflix because Netflix pay us.
Yes.
Now, that's very interesting. Obviously, that's driven very much from a corporate point of view. So we're looking far more at that being something that is very good for corporations, but not something that is in keeping with the idea of the internet as a human right. It's something very, very kind of fundamental and basic.
Exactly.
I'm interested to know what listeners think as well.
Do give us a tweet or an email or pop in the IRC with your thoughts about net neutrality.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a whole bunch of chatter going on. So let us know what you think. And coming up at some point soon, we will have our report from China as well. Lucas is a student in China, not a Chinese national, so has lived in Europe previously and is now studying in China and is in a great position to actually be able to compare, you know, as much as we kind of bleat on over here about net neutrality and wanting that. What about going to a country where this stuff is already very actively censored?
Yes.
How much does that hinder you and hinder business growth and hinder everything, really? And is that the kind of thing that we really should be striving for here in quote unquote the Western world or not?
Don't do the voice again.
The voice.
The West Side voice.
Oh, the West Side. Mm-hmm. It's very funny categorizing it as the West, really, because my sense of direction is not brilliant. But, like, to me, the West is Bristol or Cardiff. But, you know, I suppose, you know, the West of... How can you do that with a sphere? I mean, surely it's all relative.
Probably. It's all relative. I don't know. My geography is terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know where we are right now.
Okay, so we're in a studio.
Mm-hmm.
There is a microphone in front of you.
Okay.
There is a keyboard here that you can type on. Exits are to the south and to the west.
Okay.
What would you like to do?
Keep podcasting?
That's fine, but you might get eaten by a grue.
Okay.
That would be quite nice. You'll find yourself in the... page of the maze of twisty little, I think. There we go. So someone here has interestingly said, can we get condiments on tap? Pay the soy sauce board for your pipe rental. I saw something a while ago that someone, a family, used so much Vimto that they actually managed to get a tank put in their back garden and a tap in their kitchen. And so the people that make Vimto would come along and fill up their tank with Vimto and they would then just have it on tap the whole time.
Like Vimto that much? I think that's a fantastic idea.
I'm not sure how well Vimto translates internationally either. Do people have Vimto in other countries? I don't think I've ever seen it in the US. Anyone listening on Australia, do you have Vimto? In Canada, do you have Vimto? Is this a drink that that has translated to any other country in the world?
Because I like how the debate has changed from how's the net neutrality in your country to where is Vimto available around the world?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously. Yeah.
Send us an email or give us a tweet. Is Vimto available in your country and what's the net neutrality like?
Yes. Can you talk about Vimto in your country?
Is Vimto censored? Exactly. Yeah.
That could be a thing as well.
Penman says in the chat room, they have it in different parts of the world, but it's different.
Is it differently named or just tasting different? Because like they have McDonald's in different parts of the world, but it tastes
They have different menus.
Exactly. Not only do they have a different menu, but it tastes like the different things taste differently. I mean, I had a burger in the US and it tasted absolutely horrible. And then I had a McDonald's burger in the UK and it tasted absolutely horrible, but not quite as horrible.
Different kind of horrible.
I had a McDonald's burger in Spain as well. And it also tasted horrible, but again, a different kind of horrible.
Yeah. Someone in the chat saying, I wonder if there's a correlation between whether your country has net neutrality.
I think there probably is a correlation. Yes. We are doing groundbreaking science here on the Geekly Chronicles. Actual science. I was gonna try and do the actual science, but I don't know if that actually works.
I have no idea what those buttons do.
Actual science.
Nice.
There we go.
Nice.
Science.
I like that.
Ah, we good. So next time we think like doing science. Actually, if anyone thinks we could do more
science
on the Geekly Chronicles, please let us know. What more do you think we could draw comparisons between? I mean, we love
science
here. So
it's the Geekly Chronicles. It's all about fourth dimensional string theory in modern physics and stuff.
So the Vimto coming in.
Yes, we've got a lot of feedback on Vimto. Penman linked us to vimtointernational.com, which is an interactive globe of Vimto availability around the world, and it might be the best ever.
There's a lot of Vimto knowledge out there.
Yes.
Which, again, we would not have been able to find an open internet.
Indeed.
It's certainly all comes all of this Vimto that we've got. And if you check out our Tumblr right now, which is gklyc.tumblr.com, I posted a link to the story with our super tumble over in the corner.
Super tumble.
On the show later talking about her Tumblr findings of the week. It's about Vimto. I don't think I've had Vimto for years because there are the two different types, aren't there? There's the fizzy Vimto, and then there's the Vimto that's a bit like squash that you dilute in water.
I've only ever had the squash kind of Vimto.
I first remember having Vimto. I went over to a friend's house after school. I think I must have been in about year seven, so I was about 11 or 12. And we were playing games on his Atari. Was it his Atari? No, it might not. I don't know. I can't remember what it was. We were playing games. Amiga, that was it. And I got offered some Vimto, and I'd never heard of it before. And I tried it, and it was great. But it's been a really long time since it happened. So I don't know. I haven't had it for a very long time.
Our Vimto knowledge in the studio this evening.
Let's make a pledge. We will on next week's show. We will be drinking Vimto. We will compare fizzy Vimto and non-fizzy
and the squash Vimto.
Yeah, some squash Vimto. Squashed Vimto and see what it's like. We've got a plus one for Amiga in the chat room. Yeah, it was awesome. I was really jealous of my friend's Amiga at the time. I've got one now as part of my kind of collection of retro. It needs a lot of work. You can't beat Amiga, really. I mean, all this shiny technology is nice, but it's Amiga.
No, it's not. Could we do the show on an Amiga?
I don't know. I think challenge accepted. I'll give it a go. Well,
we can try that.
What was your first computer?
My first computer, given that I didn't really come using computers thing until surprisingly late, was probably a Windows 95 box, which was exciting stuff. Yes. Fond memories of Windows 95. I remember when we got Windows XP as well. That was exciting. Yeah. Mainly because of the sound effects.
Mm. Yeah. I remember going through all the versions of Windows. It was always very fun. When I switched to Mac OS, things were interesting. And we were just talking about this earlier, actually, and setting up a new Mac. So different to how it was 3 or 4 years ago. And largely it's because of the intro video that they play, that kind of do-do-do-do-do. That's fun. Loved that.
That was amazing.
Like, from going from Windows to a PC that when I got it for the first time, it did that and it had a welcome video. It was so magical. Like, it was like walking into Disneyland, which I've never done. But
I've been to Disneyland. It's not quite like walking into Disneyland because you don't get accosted by giant Mickey Mouse.
Right.
But otherwise, it's basically the same thing.
That actually sounds like something out of a nightmare.
It is slightly nightmarish.
I was falling and I was falling, and then there was a giant Mickey Mouse and he had a clown nose, and I'm having flashbacks.
We've got some people in the chat room. R.I.P. Mac. I loved it, from Simon. King Ding Dan, that's difficult to say, Dan, change your nickname, says, I missed the intro video because I learned them in so many different languages.
I don't think I paid that much attention, but I was always like, I would be like, oh, okay, got to set up a new computer. And it's like, oh, and you just dancing have that moment around. Of, it's, yes. Oh, this is funky. Whereas now it's gray and it's got checkboxes and it 5 million questions.
It did that before, but it was okay because you had an intro video to make you feel better about everything.
And it was all a bit informed, whereas now I've installed Windows on something recently and it's all like Disco Fever. There's all these different colours that cycle around and things. Mm. So it's almost gone full circle.
It almost has.
I wonder what next. I mean, obviously next year is going to be the year of the Linux desktop. Last year was going to be, and every year
since about 1985,
since Richard Stallman was born, been... was going to be. Maybe Ubuntu will get a nice shiny intro video, which will be quite amusing. I would love that. You turn on Ubuntu, and suddenly you've got like Richard Stallman. You know those Apple adverts with the person with the iPod and the silhouette.
Yes, you've got Richard Stallman doing that. With an Ubuntu laptop, kind of dancing around.
I would really like to see that. I think that would be an exceptional thing to have. So more on net then. What have we got going on? Apparently Richard Stallman isn't a fan of Ubuntu. I'm not surprised. Richard Stallman doesn't seem to be a fan.
No, that is true.
We were having a conversation about John McAfee earlier, though, and how he's just a horrible person.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Certainly in our humble opinions.
Yes, but
he's crazy.
Ubuntu is also not a fan of Richard Stallman, apparently. Is Richard Stallman a fan of anything other than Richard Stallman? We don't know.
Probably not. We don't know. I've never met Richard Stallman, but I imagine he likes Richard Stallman so much that he would just say Richard Stallman over and over.
Kind of like James Baxter, but with you. Exactly.
That's a audience will understand that joke.
Yes. But I'm really hoping some of you watch Adventure Time, because otherwise no one's going to get that
Baxter.
Joke.
Unleash your inner geek. It's the Geekly Chronicles.
So we've been talking about net neutrality.
We have.
We've been talking about an open and free internet.
We've also been talking about Vimto.
Yeah, we
to be
sidetracked,
fair.
Didn't we?
Yes, we did a bit.
Yeah, which was not the best. But what I'd love to do now is introduce a report that we've had in from China to talk a bit about net neutrality and some of the things that you can do with that as well. So without further ado, I'm going to pass over to Lucas, a student reporter from China, who has compiled this lovely kind of 2-minute report for us to give us a state of play on net neutrality and internet censoring in China. We'll have Lucas around after that. Questions.
I think so, Lucas is actually in the chat room as well.
Yeah, fantastic. So, give this a listen, and we'll talk about it afterwards. Lots of questions in my mind certainly going around. So here is the report from China.
When you travel in China, you might want to share your experiences with your friends and family on the internet. The first website you might think of going to first is Facebook. There's a problem. China censors the internet. The government puts an enormous amount of effort into the control of the behavior of netizens in the country. There's practically no such thing as free speech over there. Sites like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, even Google and Gmail are blocked. Not only social networks, but also political, religious, news sites like Amnesty International, BBC Chinese, WordPress, and a long list of other sites. Not only websites are targeted by the Grey Firewall of China, circumvention tools, both free and paid for, and the protocols such as OpenVPN as well. Since the Western websites we go on practically every time we turn on our computers are out of the jurisdiction of the People's Republic of China, they cannot control what is on them. Content on their side of the wall is also censored. They cannot write about sensitive or some say, inconvenient topics, or even look them up on their equivalent of Google called Baidu. Some users of their Twitter, called Weibo, complain of their tweets being removed. Others get prosecuted, like a 16-year-old boy named Yang Zhong. He posted a tweet critical of the Chinese government and was sentenced to 3 years in jail for, quote, spreading rumors online, but was released after an international backlash. Another victim was Liu Hu, an investigative reporter working for a Guangzhou-based newspaper called New Express. He was arrested not only for, quote, spreading rumors online, but also for, quote, fabricating, when he, on his microblog on the same website, claimed that a senior official had embezzled millions of taxpayer yuan and attached evidence to support his claim. The journalist's account was deleted. Censorship of the internet does not end with IP blocking and keyword filtering. Android smartphones made for the Chinese market are being sold without Google and Google Play. Installation of these apps, unfortunately, require rooting. Meanwhile, iOS devices often don't require such complicated steps, although Apple promised that the apps containing, quote, illegal information, such as anti-censorship web browsers, basically circumvention tools, would not appear in the Chinese App Store. China's lack of innovation derives partially from entrepreneurs not knowing enough about the latest trends, something attributable to the closed nature of the country's internet. Slow traffic, even with tools to hop over the Grey Firewall, also hinders creativity. Netizens, entrepreneurs, and the government are playing cat and mouse. The state puts a new brick in the wall every time a new server used to jump it appears to be available to the public. And that probably will last until China becomes a democratic country. Lucas Marozas, reporting from China.
So, very interesting report there, thanks to Lucas from China. Lucas, we actually have you on the line. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, there we go. Oh, look at that. We've got, unfortunately, I was machines. I'll just turn that off. But so you can use Skype from where you are then, currently.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so...
halfway through this interview.
Absolutely. So we've had a question for you, Lucas, in the chat room from Penman, who says, what happens when you try to go to a blocked website?
The reaction differs from website to website. Instagram gets connection refused, while Facebook, Twitter, Google gets connection timed out for after, I think, 15 seconds.
Interesting. So, I mean, is there any kind of risk of being reported to the authorities for doing that? Is your activity tracked? So if you access a site that that is blocked, is that reported to someone?
Not really, because too many people are jumping the firewall. I don't think the government is caring enough about it.
I mean, it's a bit like that XKCD cartoon where they have the you try and log in as a pseudoer and you're not a pseudoer, and it says this incident has been reported, and people go, I wonder where that actually gets reported to, and it's just got Santa's naughty and nice list. So you've obviously lived in a different country here in Europe, and then went over to China. Have you been inconvenienced, do you think, by the censorship over in China?
Well, I cannot talk about the sensitive topics in China. I kind of have a account on Weibo. I cannot talk about the firewall itself. Religious topics. The corruption of the government and all about things, all about these things. If they realize it, the tweets will get blocked right before they come up.
Right, okay. So if you talk about those things, then they will delete your tweets or your messages to social media platforms, yep. Then. So very real sense of censorship going on in China. I mean, yep. How many people must work doing that that job to monitor all of that stuff? I mean, I guess that quite a lot of those filters are probably automatic, but that must take quite some effort.
Yes, there. It is believed that the Chinese government employs called Internet Police. It is believed that the number of employees exceeds 3 million, but this is still unconfirmed.
3 million people policing the internet in China—that is just a huge number.
A slightly scary number.
Very scary, yeah. Yeah. So kind of one more question from me, Lucas. Obviously, a lot of people around the world talk about net neutrality and talk about things like SOPA and the various bills and acts that are being introduced. And obviously, for the idea for those of us that have a free and open internet right now of giving that up is very, very scary. But do you think that that's detracting attention away from the fact that there are countries like China where everything is censored already? Or do you think... do you think it's right for us to be focusing on this when there are still things like that happening in China?
Well, I think it's always good to fight for your own country, but I don't think that we should take examples from other countries. Like, oh, China censors the whole internet. In 1949, the Chinese people chose the communist government. So I don't think we should take I don't think we should mention the Chinese government for censoring the internet. Different countries have different political systems, and I think if your country is a democracy, then we should fight for our own rights. In China, you can't really do that because it's a communist government. You can't really say such things that I don't want any censorship because. The police will come to your house immediately.
I see, and that's a very scary thing. So we've had one more question in here in the chat room from Dylan. How open is discussion with your peers around how to circumvent the Great Firewall? Do you often have conversations about that, or is it too risky to even talk about getting around the Great Firewall?
Well. Among foreigners, you can always talk about the circumvention tools. Not with the Chinese people, because anyone could be a spy or whoever. So we don't talk to Chinese people about these things.
I mean, it sounds to me a bit like a. Something out of a movie, you know, people spying on each other and kind of reporting people to the government. It's very 1984, but I suppose actually that is real life in China. That's how that works. Okay, well, Lucas, thank you very much for coming on and for answering our questions. Really appreciate the report and having you on. So thank you very much for being a part of that.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So very interesting discussion there around how things work in China. And obviously it's... somewhat Orwellian, I suppose, compared to the UK and kind of countries that we consider Western countries. But yeah, I mean, how do you feel, Chris, about the potential of having your internet rights taken away?
Well, certainly to the extent that seems to be the case in China, sounds very scary to me, to be honest. That figure that Lucas gave of 3 million people watching everything you do on the internet, filtering through all of your communications to make sure there's nothing anti-China or anti the censorship, is, as you say, quite Orwellian, quite 1984, and quite unsettling, even though someone in the chat room, Jake H., has said that they have a population of 1 billion people, so the number of people monitoring your internet traffic is 0.003%,
you know,
Chinese people. But I still think, you know, it's a big number.
I still don't like the idea of 0.003% of the population of a country being able to look at my stuff.
That's 3 million people sorting through everything you tweet, everything you put on social media.
And it's that age-old argument, isn't it, of if you've got nothing to hide, why would you care? Which is a lot of what certainly the UK government has talked about. You know,
yes.
We don't want encryption was something that I heard the past week. We don't like encryption because it helps the terrorists.
Yes.
This mysterious of the terrorists that is now a group unto themselves.
The government can wheel out the phrase the terrorists to defend any move they make against the internet.
Well, indeed,
much.
With it being election time in the UK, I'm sure the phrase the terrorists will be. I'm thinking of putting together a Geekly Chronicle calls election bingo card that in the run-up to the election you get to tick off things like the terrorists and you know, God forbid we have any kind of things like the NHS, and we've got things like the hard-working families, there we go, and quiet bat people and all those kind of things. So it's you know, lots of those buzzwords being used. But yeah, and it's, they were talking about the fact that they didn't want to have encryption. They said that Apple encrypting iMessages, this was the article I was reading, helped the terrorists win, was an actual quote from a UK government representative that I read in the news this
day. Yes.
And the idea that I can't encrypt things, the idea that I can't care about my own security unless I've got something to hide, is... it's just insane. I mean, why shouldn't I have a right to privacy?
It's not even if we simplify it down, if we take away, you know, our right to have secrets, there are still legitimate uses of encryption. For example, when you buy something online, more often than not, the websites you buy things through will have SSL or HTTPS, which is encryption on the web. If you take away that encryption, anyone between you and the shop you're buying stuff from can read your credit card information. It's the same as going into John Lewis or Marks and Spencer or wherever and shouting your card number across the room to the tills.
So I'm often worried when I pay for things over the phone and there are other people around, because sometimes I'm just sat like in something and I'm on the phone and I'm going to make
reading
a payment.
Out your card number.
Okay, could I have the long card number on the front of your card, please? I'm like, 15794.
That's not your real card number.
Expiry date and the 3 digits on the back. I'm like, do you want like a sample of my blood as well?
Yes.
I understand the need for security, but I would also like security to be two-way.
Yes.
So it's quite interesting from that respect. I mean, I'd love to be able to text them my card number.
So you don't have to say it aloud at a crowded Starbucks.
Yeah, because I'm not on my own particularly often. And most of the time that I decide I want to buy things, it's normally when I'm with people who have buy things. So I'm normally sat with someone in Starbucks and they say, wouldn't it be nice if I had like a portable walrus polishing kit? And I would go, oh, I am buying one of those off Amazon.
Get you one of those.
Right. Amazon Prime, I can have it tomorrow.
Yes.
So we'll take a break from this discussion now. Let's have more of that talk around net neutrality. Also, some more of your requests coming in. And also, we want to know which song is worse out of our bad songs of the week. Is it Carly Rae Jepsen, I Really Like You, or Electro Velvet, Still In Love With You, the UK's Eurovision entry. It's not brilliant. But here, this is something that someone posted in the chat room. I keep talking about the chat room. It's very active this evening.
Yes,
it's on Freenode. It's just GKLY on Freenode. Please give it a join. On IRC, that is. So if those of you don't know what IRC is, Google it. You'll find it very easily. But this is... this is something that should invoke some memories based on the conversation we just had. It's only 55 seconds long, but I hope you enjoy it. We'll be right back. I love it. So back in 2008 or so, when you turned on a new Mac, that would be the noise that you would hear.
Your fortnightly dose of random geekage. It's the Geekly Chronicles.
We now have what is quickly turning into one of my favorite features, and we haven't even had it yet. It is the Tumble Fumble with our lovely eccentric lover of cheese and science fiction, Catherine. Hello, Catherine.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for letting me join you.
That's all right. So, yeah, how's the world of the internet this week?
It seems as entertaining as ever.
Entertaining?
Yes.
Okay, the world of the internet is entertaining. So you've been largely on Tumblr this week.
Yeah, the last couple of months, actually. It's pretty much taken over my life.
I believe that's what they call fun employment.
Yes, yeah, although that is rapidly coming to an end. So I have two large, big client gigs coming up, so not as much Tumblr time, I'm afraid.
No, can you work for Tumblr? Are they hiring? If anyone from Tumblr is listening, you've got a big fan here.
I'm pretty much just a user, though.
Right. Maybe they just need a user group, user testing.
Yeah, maybe. Just someone to break it.
Yeah, someone to break Tumblr for them. Load test Tumblr. So what have you got for us then?
Well, it was really tough actually choosing a favourite blog of the week to start with, but I thought I'd go for something that with sort of universal appeal that doesn't necessarily rely on somebody being a show or a thing, something that everyone can relate to. And I'm going with an oldie but a goodie. One of the first Tumblrs I ever discovered, and it is Terrible Real Estate Agent Photos.
Terrible Real Estate Agent Photos.
Yeah, literally just type that into Tumblr and you're good. And the Tumblr is right there at the top.
All right, let me do this now. Tell us a bit about Terrible Real Estate Photos.
Well, it's really all you need to know is in the name. It's terrible images that have been used as part of listings to sell homes. And the more you scroll and the more of these pictures you look at, the funnier it gets. I mean, just themes like the garden chair of solitude should leave you in stitches, hopefully. yes, kind of stick with it. Do some scrolling. See what Terrible Real Estate Agent Photos has to offer. If you don't want to use Tumblr, they also Twitter at Bad Realty Photos, so you can check them out there as well. And they now seem to have a book as well, which is available on Amazon if you'd like to, you know, check out the photos while you're on the toilet or something and you don't want to have your phone in the bathroom.
I'm just scrolling. I'm scrolling through this now. Some ridiculous photos here there's a dog wearing a hat in one of these pictures. There's a house that is largely flooded.
Tales of a ghostly peddler.
Yes, I just saw that. There are some really, really, truly terrible real estate photos on here. And what other Tumblrs have you been looking at this week? And one new one
called Famous People with Bananas.
Famous People with Bananas.
Yep, literally exactly what it says on the tin.
Famous
pictures
people
of famous bananas.
With bananas.
Yeah. And can't go wrong with that.
Isn't there one, there's like a theme of Tumblr blogs about texts as well? Was that not something that I saw a while ago? People would like texts from last night or something like that.
Yeah, so there's a website called Texts From Last Night, which is just people sharing amusing text messages that they received, usually from their drunk friends. And people kind of take these and put them over screenshots from TV shows. But I'm sure our features...
Yes. Incredibly interesting websites, textfromlastnight.com. So please don't go there if you don't like bad. But yes, that's... I just forgot I was standing up is one of them. There we go. Yeah. One, how can one just forget that they're standing up?
How indeed.
But yeah, so thank you very much, Catherine, and talking about our Tumble Fumble for the week.
My pleasure. Bad Always real happy estate. To have a fumble.
Absolutely. Bad real estate photos are. Thank you very much, Catherine, for joining us there. We're going
to
have.
I've just been tweeting all of GKLYCO to see those links.
We need a few more requests. Please stop sending me YouTube links because I can't really. because YouTube does that lovely auto-playing thing. But tell us some songs that you'd like to hear. That'd be good. We are going to have our next guest on in 5 or 10 minutes or so. Let's continue this debate about net neutrality this week, though, as well. I mean, we've had a lot of comments around net neutrality. Also appear to have a lot of comments about Mac versus PC and the Mac versus PC ads as well, which was always quite good. Just looking through the chat here, it looks like Josh got told off by the bot for using naughty language in the chat room as well. That's terrible, Josh. Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Yes. Just awful.
Yeah, so don't forget, you also need to continue voting for our bad song of the week. Indeed. So before the end of the show, we will play one of these songs. Which is worse, is it I Really Like You by Carly Rae Jepsen? Or is it Still In Love With You by Electro Velvet, this year's UK Eurovision Song Contest entry? That's quite enough of that. So let's talk a bit more of net neutrality. Although someone here has said Still In Love With You of the worst of, is the worst of the two. Do you agree, Chris?
Well, as for Carly Rae Jepsen was my suggestion, I feel that I should side with it. But, you know, having listened to them both extensively in preparation for this programme, I think you may be winning.
Right. Think that it's it may well be
the worst song in existence.
The worst song in existence. Okay, strong views there on the Eurovision entry currently. So we had Lucas on the show earlier, who gave us a report from China. Obviously, very interesting to hear about the level of censorship that the internet gets there. I mean, he was very pleased that he was able to join us via Skype, but I believe even that is a technical challenge some days.
Yes.
Getting around what is affectionately known as the Great Firewall of China. I mean, we often talk about China in regards to those kind of things, but obviously net neutrality is an issue around the world, and internet censorship is an issue around the world. Lots of different countries have lots of different policies about what you can and can't do. So what about where you're from, listeners? The net neutrality status like in your country? What is it like around the world for everyone else? I know that, I mean, I travel a lot. I always worry and wonder about the laws and regulations in different countries that I'm going to. Now, when you fly, there are rules around having to have your devices be able to be turned on so that they can see that it's booting. But actually, once I was traveling to... Where was I travelling to? I think I was travelling to Germany from London Heathrow. And when I was going through security at Heathrow, the security agent actually asked to look at my phone and then asked if they could see the photos that I had taken that day to see if I'd taken any photos of inside the airport. I had taken some photos of inside the airport, largely because there was a sign where someone had incorrectly used an apostrophe.
The greatest of all crimes.
Yeah, it's terrible, right? Misuse of apostrophe is punishable by
strong tutting in this country.
By strong tutting.
Which is probably the worst punishment you can receive.
The use of lots of interrobangs.
Mm.
Interrobangs, interrobi.
I'm going to go with interrobangs.
Interrobangs, okay.
Because interrobi sounds ridiculous.
Yes, because interrobang doesn't sound ridiculous at all.
Okay.
Yeah. So... and they actually wouldn't let me through security unless I showed them the photos on my phone. And they actually asked me to delete any photos that I'd taken at the and made sure that I'd done that. And then they asked me to go into settings and show them whether I had the photos syncing to anything or not as well.
Yeah,
it was incredibly odd. And so, you know, even here in the UK, that does happen. So, you know, elsewhere in the world, whether you're in the US or in Canada or in Australia or anything like that, what is net neutrality like? Is it being debated? Is it even up for debate in your country? Is there somewhere, some kind of golden place where net neutrality isn't even an issue because it's been it had been approved by governments and people are very happy to have that there? So let's see what people think about that as well.
Yes.
But very shortly, we are going to have another guest on the show as well. Tell us about this guest, Chris.
Well, this guest is, as I mentioned at the top of the show, the chiptune artist Tiesu, who will be premiering a new chiptune track on this evening's programme, or if you're in Australia, this morning's programme, or if you're in America, this afternoon's programme, I say tentatively. I have no idea how time zones work. This programme. So, yes, he will be joining us shortly to play his new track, which, have you heard it yet?
I heard the intro to it. I've not, I've been trying really hard not to listen to it. I didn't want to spoil the surprise, actually.
I haven't yet.
No, absolutely. Do you like chiptunes, though, Chris?
I'm a fan of chiptunes. I'm a fan of the chip music. I have no idea where I was going with
You're
that.
You're a fan of the chip.
A fan of the chip.
I like chips.
Chips. I like chips. Chips are pretty good.
This is, of course, the British chip rather than
the American
chip.
Although as well. So.
I prefer fries to chips.
It's a fair point.
It was my really good American accent again.
Indeed,
there.
That was shocking.
Absolutely. So, how many of you like chip tunes? Can I get a chip yeah on Twitter? Can I get a chip yeah in the chat room?
Yes.
Chip yeah is
I don't think that's
a phrase
gonna catch on.
That I have just invented right now.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get a chip yeah?
Mm-hmm. Can I have that as a soundbite for my text alert?
Can I get a chip? Yeah.
We've got some chip yeahs coming in the chat room.
Chip one yeah.
Very tentative from Jake H. He's like, chip yeah?
Sort of, maybe yeah. Chip yeah. Chip yeah, chip yeah.
Mr. M with the two exclamation marks there.
Lovely.
Chip yeah.
Chip yeah.
I'm feeling the chip tune love.
Oh, always feeling the chip tune chat room. Love. Yeah, absolutely. Can we get a chip yeah from the audience here in the studio? Chip, yeah, that was a chip, yeah.
That
Catherine,
now
tumble
chip,
fumble.
Yeah.
Chip, yeah?
Chip, yeah.
Chip, yeah. We've got there a chip, go. Yeah, going on over here. Okay, so with the chorus of chip, yeah, let's say hello to Tiesu. Hello, Tiesu.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, you're there. I can hear you and everything.
I'm alive.
You're alive.
Works.
And you're Australian.
Yes.
Well, that happens too. That was quite,
do you get
quite by accident there.
Yes. So what's what time is it for you?
It's 6:21 in the morning.
Ah, okay. It's 8:21 in the evening. Thank you for joining us so early on a Saturday morning.
I know, on a Saturday morning of all days.
Well, you know, but it's what else would you be doing with your Saturday?
I know, that's absolutely true. I mean, I could be just, what,
who,
sleeping, I guess.
Yeah, who sleeps on a Saturday morning, though?
Sleeping in, no. But how is everyone in the UK?
Well, I haven't checked with everyone. When was the last time you spoke to the whole country, Chris?
I think that will have been the 2011 census.
Okay, so the 2011 census said that generally
people were all right.
93% of people were fine, and the rest were Jedis.
Yes, so I think that's how it went.
I think that's what the survey said. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, certainly here in the Geekly studio, everyone's okay. We've got our little sofa full of audience members and tumblering people. We've got a cat. Mm-hmm. Sat here randomly. He's not going to make
cat.
Not make any noise.
No.
Just quite happily enjoying the podcast there. Out of the big windows in front of us, and it's I can't actually see anything other than my own reflection now. It's that dark.
It's dark here too.
That's because the sun hasn't come up yet.
Yeah. it's somewhere else right now. It's left us. It's not quite made it to you yet.
Yes. It'll be on its way.
Feels weird. I'm in the future. So
you are. God, how's the future?
Hang on a second. You're in the future. There we go.
How is the future? Oh, okay.
The future is, it's, well, it's all right, I guess. Tuning.
I've just put some lovely echo on you, so you are now sounding very futuristic.
Ooh.
Yeah, there we go. So
welcome.
Before we start playing some of your music and stuff, I've always liked chiptunes, kind of back before I really knew that anything like that was called chiptunes. I mean, to me, you know, I loved making music on the demo scene back in the day, you know, doing mod tracking and things like that. But then I kind of fell out of having kind of the time and the inclination, and this whole genre of chiptunes evolved during that time. How do you actually make chiptunes music?
That depends a lot. I mean, you can make it on things like Amigas or Ataris or Game Boys. I cheat and I make it on the computer because I'm really lazy. I mean, I do Game Boy tracker stuff, but I basically just have a bunch of plugins on the computer. It's way easier. I can play it on a keyboard instead of having to sit there with a Game Boy, late at night. And everyone remembers trying to play. I don't know if everyone does remember, but trying to play on a Game Boy in the dark without a backlit screen. And they used to come with that little light attachment so you could actually see stuff.
Yep.
And it's all tracker based, and trackers are a way of writing music because you've got patterns and chains, and then you've got tables, and you have instruments that you can use. It's all very complicated. I mean, the big thing about writing on a Game Boy is that you've only got four channels, and one of those channels is just filtered white noise. So realistically, you can only have three notes at a time.
Well, that's like any Beatles song, really, though, right? So it's not too difficult to work with. But I mean, that's really interesting because I obviously used to write. I say obviously, I just mentioned it. Mm-hmm. I used to write some tracker music back in the day, but that was using my PC, my DOS PC at the time, with Scream Tracker on it, and that was amazing. I should really dig some of those out. I might
give save it a bash on the show.
Save my album to floppy disk and then work out how to play it on here.
Understand floppy disks?
No,
I think these things are scared of floppy disks.
The floppy disks are thicker than these machines as well.
Yes,
it's crazy how modern technology has come. But yeah, I mean, I love doing that stuff. But I've seen people playing Game Boys at gigs, and you know, Game Boys that have been hacked around and modified and have kind of odd cables coming out of them. So I'm assuming once you've done that, you can't then play a game in the Game Boy.
No, you absolutely can.
Really?
In fact, yeah, and it'll be way better because you'll actually be able to hear the audio as it was intended, as opposed to, as the headphone jack allows.
Oh, you say as it was intended. You know, whoever wrote the Pokemon soundtrack intended for it to be like a full string section and woodwind and, you know, proper percussion.
There's only so much you can do on a Game Boy.
This doesn't suddenly turn it into an orchestral piece with a full symphony orchestra behind it.
Well, that's true. The only thing that the modifications really do is they increase the bass from the Game Boy, and they bring the volume level on a Game Boy is actually really surprisingly low, and it just increases that volume. You just get a line level output for anyone who knows what a line level output is.
Well, so that's really interesting. So how did you get into it all? Because, I mean, I've known you for a long time, and you were very much, you've always been a bit of a geek. I'd say a bit of a geek. You've been a geek ever since I first met you. In fact, you would often out-geek me, which is
not an easy feat.
Not an easy feat at all, no. Although I do remember that one of the first times I met you, we went bowling, and you completely beat me. In bowling, I think I bowled 40 or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was something incredibly sort of
like
bad.
I basically like waved a ball somewhere in a bowling alley, and that was what I got, like I got a sympathy score as a result of that.
Well, on the plus side, you probably got like 100 points on other people's lanes.
But yeah, everyone else getting strikes, that was all just me attempting to hit one pin on my lane.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm the anti-Flintstone when it comes to bowling. But, you know, you were very much more composing the non-electronic stuff, I guess, at the time. And now, I mean...
Acoustic guitar.
Absolutely. But your chiptune stuff is fantastic. How did you get into creating this music?
That was a byproduct of finding other people. When I went to university, to learn composing. I did a music degree, and one of my friends there, who was also doing the same degree, he was big in the chiptune scene in Australia, and we got on. I went to chiptune shows and went, "Wow, all right, I've found it. I've found something that really just piques my interest. I'm going to grab onto that hard." And then I did a challenge called Weekly Beats, which is to write a song every week for a year, which is surprisingly difficult to do.
Every week?
One song every week for a whole year.
So 52 songs.
Yep.
That is intense.
Yeah. I actually...
It's more than most modern artists manage in their entire careers.
Yes.
Pretty much. I actually did it again last year. I take it easier the second time.
I hear that about many things. Childbirth, I think, as is making a cup of tea and doing it the right way.
Yeah, milk first, right? It's always the milk first.
Get out, milk first. Don't you stop talking. What are you on about? Milk first. That's totally the wrong way to do it.
Absolutely. You put the
How
do you know how much milk you need?
Exactly. You put the tea bag in, put the water on top of the tea, you give it a stir, you take the tea
Someone
bag
in the
out.
Chat room has said cup first is traditionally the best way to go about it.
That's good. But if you want to take
it's very
cup
true.
First
yes.
is the best possible
You don't
want way
to end
to
up with a milky
tea.
Counter in the kitchen. That's generally not how you make a good cup of tea.
A milky counter. A milky you don't want to counter. End up with a milky counter.
That's can we make that the title of this week's show? You don't want to end up with a milky counter.
It's like the milky counter kid would be like the most underrated child actor in history.
Yes.
I am the milky counter kid. Tumbleweeds.
Yep.
I said tumbleweeds, not tumbler weeds. There we go. Sad face from Catherine in the back of the room there.
We're bringing things full circle.
Yes. Yeah. Where were we?
Bimto, I think.
No. Gypsies. So before we carry on and talk about your music, Saskia, you're obviously out there in Australia. So we've been talking a bit about net neutrality on the show. What's it like out there in Australia? The news much? Do people talk about it?
Well, they're talking more and more about it because the government literally just passed a bill a couple of days ago, which stores your metadata for 2 years. So it'll store every text message, every email, every website that you've visited for 2 years. And the government can then access it without a warrant.
That does not sound good. What was the public reaction to that?
No one really cared except for, you know, people who knew what that was going to entail. Then, of course, what they didn't take into account is that they currently have no way of doing things like if you connect to your email in the States via HTTPS, they can't track that. So if you're using Gmail, they can't take into account any of those emails that you send. If though you're using an Australian internet company, then they're going to track all of that.
So basically, this is just bad news for Australian internet companies, and that's about it.
Yeah, correct. And then it's going to, of course, they're pushing the cost of storing all that metadata onto the ISPs. So then all our internet prices are going to go up, and then people are going to complain about it 5 years down the line when it's too late to do anything.
What about that, actually? The effect that all of this monitoring and stuff is actually going to have on how much our internet costs?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, internet is the price of internet is creeping up and up anyway. You know, it's more expensive to connect to the net now. I mean, when I think about the days of dial-up, which I
price
I still,
per minute,
I think about with love in my heart,
indeed,
for the old dial-up days. But yeah,
I can only think about it with love in because that much of the page hasn't loaded for me yet. But there we go.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So someone has just said in the chat here, so Australia is becoming China.
Australia does seem to be becoming China. Yes, they're not allowed to block websites yet, which of course they do in the UK. So that's a plus. Instead, they're going to track which websites you go to. Pretty much the same thing.
So rather than them being able to say, no, you can't look at this material, what they're saying is, you can look at whatever material you like, but we may use that against you at some point in time.
Yep, exactly that.
Okay, so be very careful what websites you visit there. No looking at cheese or anything like that.
in case cheese becomes illegal.
Well, yeah, I hear that they're looking at banning cheese in Australia.
That's just terrifying.
Well, I know. It's awful. I mean, why would you ban cheese? I mean, for a country that is famed for barbecues...
Indeed.
Why would you not want to grill a bit of halloumi now and then?
Exactly.
That's terrible. Do you like halloumi?
Yes, grilled halloumi is wonderful.
Grilled halloumi is amazing. Absolutely. You know, I actually had some grilled halloumi for lunch the other day. There was a little street food place in London that were doing grilled halloumi wraps, and it was absolutely
that
amazing.
Sounds amazing.
It was the kind of cheesy salt. I mean, halloumi is just amazing. Mm. Anyway,
it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. I see what you did there. Although it's Gouda.
So, I don't care.
What kind of cheese do you use to hide a horse?
I don't know.
Mascarpone.
Hey.
Oh, lovely. All the best cheese jokes here.
Sure, in a geek, it's the Geekly Chronicles. It's all about cats on the internet and junk.
So that was something like it was called by TAC. Much TAC for coming on the show and sharing with us your guide to chiptunes.
And Australian cheese.
Yeah, and Australian cheese. Well, yes. It's not necessarily Australian cheese, it's just halloumi.
Halloumi's Greek, but, you know, the cheese situation in Australia. Anyway.
Yes, and the net neutrality situation, more importantly. So we did say towards the start of the show that we were going to have a...
Indeed, we did.
On this show, and we will buy dinner. Well, I suppose it's kind of a late dinner. Mm. We will buy a snack, dinner... related snack food. We'll buy food for someone. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, we will find a way to get this food to you. So we said we would give it away to the most active person. So we will need to take a look through certainly Twitter in the chat. Not very many people tweeting at us, so I think we need to see a bit more on the Twitter. But we've had quite a lot of chip yeahs in the chat.
We've had a few tweets. Got a few new followers. Hello to everyone who's followed us recently.
Yeah,
we got some tweets from Daniel Hart, Tom, regular listener. Hello, McCoy. Hello to you all.
Hello,
McCoy. My apologies.
We've had assorted tweets from people. We've got a lot of people in the chat room as well. We've got Misty. We've got Hugh. We've got Jake. We've got Lucas. We've got Penman. We've got King Ding Dan. We've got Code Luca. We've got Simon. We've got a whole bunch of people there in the chat room. I don't know why I'm scrolling up. I can see the list of people who's in the chat room there on the right hand side.
Yes,
I love IRC.
IRC is great.
IRC is great. It's like the 90s wrapped up in the 21st century. That's basically me, isn't it?
Pretty much.
We just had. I thought we had a notification there for Twitter, but no. And what are you using for IRC? We are Linkinus right now. Other IRC clients are available. Mm-hmm. Just happens to be a personal favourite. We'll be doing that. We also need to decide on our bad song of the week.
Yes, we do.
So last but not least, we need your tweets. We need your comments in the chat room. I Really Like You by Carly Rae Jepsen. Or is the UK's Eurovision Song Contest entry Electro Velvet Still in Love with You the worst song of the week? My bad song was Electro Velvet. Chris suggested the Carly Rae Jepsen song. What other songs has Carly Rae Jepsen done? Who is Carly Rae Jepsen?
She was Call Me Maybe.
That was the thing. Hey, yes. I just met you.
And this is crazy.
But here's my number.
Me maybe.
Yes, that's the most stalkery song ever.
And speaking of which, if you want to call the show, see what I did there.
You did.
Yes, if you want to call the show, you are more than welcome to do so. Details are on the website at gkly.co. Leave us a voicemail and we might play it on the next show.
Yeah, absolutely. Voicemails are plenty. We would love to feature the various voices of our listeners on the next show.
That just sounds scary.
It wasn't meant to sound scary. It was meant to sound, you know, encouraging and positive. And
put the echo on, then it'll sound scary.
Put the echo on and then it's scary. Okay, hang on, let me twizzle the knob here.
We would love to feature your voice on the show next week.
that's actually terrifying.
Was that really that terrifying?
That was a bit scary, yes.
Is that scary? Well, you can make anything sound scary. Yeah, give me something really nice and sweet to say, and I'll make it sound scary with a bit of echo.
Kitten pictures.
Pictures of kittens.
Yep.
It we will take over the world with pictures of kittens.
Yep. Fair point.
Really
it works.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
I have like to get one of those echo buttons for my life.
It's like that bit in Friends where they're saying, you know, that Joey can make anything sound sexy, and he goes like, "Grandma's chicken salad." That's reminded me of that.
Mm-hmm.
I like chicken salad.
Can you make it sound evil, though? That's the question.
Can I make Grandma's chicken salad sound evil? Let's see.
With Grandma's chicken salad.
Sounds about right.
There we go.
Does sound about right.
That was an evil chicken salad. an evil chicken salad. So,
new show title. I've changed my mind. Evil chicken salad.
Yeah. So we've been told here that Carly Rae Jepsen is the worst out of those two things. But then people in the chat room were saying that actually they thought the Electro Velvet song was the worst.
Opinion is divided.
Opinion is indeed divided. What do you think? I mean, what do you think of the Eurovision Song Contest as a whole? It's been going for a long time now. Britain never wins.
No, it's true.
But, what do you think?
I think, well, as you said, Britain never wins. So our Eurovision entry is usually a pretty good way of, you know, finding the worst song of the week. But I don't know. I'm still feeling that Carly Rae Jepsen could just beat it out and be truly the worst song.
So
of
I
this week's show.
I have a confession to make about the Eurovision Song Contest.
Uh-huh.
When I was younger, I used to get very excited about Eurovision.
Right.
I was one of these people that I don't know quite why I thought it was so good, but I was obsessed with the idea that the Eurovision Song Contest was the epitome of everyone in the world getting along.
Mm-hmm.
And all I ever wanted was for everyone in the world to just give each other a big hug. I mean, you know, I'm very much on the idea about, you know, everyone just giving everyone a big hug. There's
Eurovision
no real
hug contest.
Yes. There's no all real need for war. There's no real need for censorship. There's no need for any of this political awfulness. Let's just everyone give each other a hug. Prime Minister's Question Time in the UK, where you get to tune into the TV and watch everyone shouting at each other like 5-year-olds in
the
playground.
They just all hugged each other. One massive group hug.
Yeah. All these leaders' debates for the election on TV. Yeah. I just want to see a group hug.
Yeah.
I want to see David Cameron and Ed Miliband and Nigel Farage and all of these other people get in a group and give each other a big hug, although I'd quite like to see Nigel Farage fall down a hole as well.
Yes, well, that would certainly change the format of the political debates. But
yes, but moving
probably
on
for the better.
It's Eurovision is one of those interesting things. I remember getting very excited, putting flags up, holding a party that I was the only attendee of.
Right,
but it was something very special to me. And I don't know if I've become a bit disillusioned with it. I'm not sure. But Eurovision to me was always like a grand idea. I think Lucas has said here it's used to be a song contest. Now it's a hybrid war. I think everyone has always voted quite tactically in the Eurovision Song Contest. And maybe it's a reflection of the fact that nobody likes in Europe. I don't know. But it's... I'm not really qualified to talk about politics. I'm not really qualified to talk about many things, actually.
But that hasn't really stopped qualified. Us so far.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. According to King Ding Dan in the chat room, there's a celebration show for Eurovision on BBC One in the UK in 12 minutes, probably 11 minutes now, just after we finish the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tune into BBC One for all of your Eurovision love.
Apparently, we're getting a bit hippie.
Are we?
Is that because we've been talking about
everyone giving everyone a hug.
Giving everyone a hug.
Yes. Too many hugs for Dylan.
Well, if wanting hugs makes me a hippie, then I can't say it. No, I can't say that. I was going to say I'm proud to be a hippie.
No.
Then it's like, okay. I will have then morphed into my parents, and that's not something I want. So, okay, we've got just a little bit of time left for you to decide.
Yes, keep those tweets and messages coming in.
Carly Rae Jepsen is the worst song, or whether Electro Velvet is the worst song of
Lucas
the week.
Lucas on Twitter, a different Lucas to our Lucas from earlier, says that the Carly Rae Jepsen is definitely the worst song. And also, he thinks he deserves the food because he did our voiceovers.
Yes, so there. Thank you to to Lucas there on Twitter, who did our voiceovers. Apparently, somebody did a great talk in which they plotted a graph of Eurovision wins over its history and how the UK suffered massively once telephone voting was introduced.
Well, there we go.
I wonder why that is.
No one voting for the UK by phone.
That's sad.
It is. It is.
So, Chris, we need to give away some food here.
We do need to give away some food.
Who's been interacting with us a lot this evening?
Who has been interacting?
You don't just repeat the things that I say, you know?
Yeah, but that makes my job easier, so I'm happy.
Let's have some originality, eh?
Indeed. Let's have some originality. You're going to kill me, aren't you? Okay, moving on. we've not had many tweets. We've really not had many tweets come in.
But the chat room has been exceptionally active. So hello, everyone there in Freenode. Mm-hmm. The GKLY channel in Freenode is exceptionally active now. Interacting sounds a bit creepy. I'm reaching over for my echo again.
Who's been interacting with us this evening?
Now you're just going to scare them away. Mm-hmm. Although I guess that does mean we get to order the food for ourselves.
Yes, yeah, that's true. As much as we had food before the show, there is still some food left. Is there much food left over there? A bit, not much. Great, okay, so we need to order some more food anyway. We need to order... Okay, so we've still got a bit of vegetarian pizza left.
Yeah, my pizza's fine.
So we need to order some food then.
Yes, indeed, but... Let's order it for one of our chatters.
Yes, let's do that. Let's have a look through. In terms of people that have been very engaged with the show this evening, trying to avoid using the I word there, have had requests and things like that. I think, and I don't know if you agree, but I think maybe Jake deserves the takeaway this week.
Maybe. Jake has been very active in our chat room this afternoon, although doesn't like the idea of cold pizza, it seems.
I love the idea of cold pizza, especially
cold pizza
for breakfast.
Great. But stick cold pizza in the fridge. Well, stick pizza in the fridge, then it becomes cold pizza, then have it tomorrow morning for breakfast.
Thank you.
I agree with you, Dan.
Explanation of how...
yes, that's how fridges how work. Fridges they work. Make things cold.
No, really?
Breaking news. You heard it here first, everyone. Fridges make things cold.
It's almost like it's some kind of refrigeration technology or something. Mm.
Never catch on anyway.
Lovely. So anyway, well done there, Jake. You have 1 hour takeaway this week. We will be in touch about getting that ordered for you. What would you like? I mean, I know you're there in the chat room, but tell us what kind of food you want. We will get that food ordered for you and delivered to you right away. Yes, Jake, you have. Misty says, where can we order cold pizza for Jake? We don't have to order the cold pizza. We'll just send him the leftovers that we've got here from the studio.
Yeah, we'll have the nice new pizza and he can have the cold leftovers.
I hear he's a fan of cold pizza.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I have heard.
Absolutely. So all that's really left for us to do now is decide between Carly Rae Jepsen and Electro Velvet.
Yes. And I think opinions in the chat room have been quite divided. Actually.
They have.
So...
So, is it going to be Carly Rae Jepsen as the worst song of the week? Or is it going to be Electro Velvet?
It's a good question.
Is it going to be Carly Rae? Or is it going to be Electro Velvet? Why did you pick Carly Rae Jepsen?
I picked Carly Rae Jepsen because, well, as I've said, the song is truly awful. She hasn't done anything of note since she released Call Me Maybe, and even that itself was a bit terrible. So.
You know, I often thought that I should do an acoustic cover of Call Me Maybe.
Why not?
Okay.
Next week's show?
For the show.
Next time's show.
Next time's show. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I wonder what would happen if we played both Carly Rae Jepsen and Electro Velvet at the same time.
I think the world might implode, but I think it's worth a shot.
That's actually not terrible.
That's not terrible. No, that might actually improve a quite acceptable songs. Song. Actually, although Jake H. in the chat room has said, ah! So,
it actually
you know.
Felt like that wasn't a terrible song.
Yeah. Well, so, Code Luca in the chat room, the two songs were I Really Like You by Carly Rae Jepsen and what was yours called?
Electro Velvet with Still In Love With You. It's the UK's Eurovision Song Contest entry for this year.
Indeed.
Looking at the various answers, I think we've had more votes for Electro Velvet.
I think we have.
Being
I think
the worst song
I shall
of the
have
week.
To concede defeat or victory. I'm not sure which. Anyway.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles. It's all about relativity and particles and stuff.
So, thank you very much for tuning into the show.
Yes.
It's been a really fun couple of hours to spend with you. Really pleased to have Geekly back, I was going to say on the airwaves, but really it's on the data stream.
Through the intertubes.
The intertubes.
Yes.
Don't say the intertubes.
That just sounds weird.
Okay, hang on a second. I'm just turn the echo on, then you say the intertubes.
Through the intertubes.
Yes, that does that work does quite well.
I think, I can't remember who it was, but someone famous or in the US Senate or something like that described the internet once as a series of tubes. So there
we
go.
Anyway.
Keep turning the echo on.
A series of tubes.
I quite like that. That's quite fun.
Yeah, it's, they really shouldn't give me buttons to press effects and stuff on. But yeah, that's... and here I have lots of buttons in front of me.
Indeed, step away from the buttons.
Absolutely. So the next edition of the Geekly Chronicles will
be... Do you
want
to say that with the echo?
Ah.
The next edition of the Geekly Chronicles.
I can't do it without sounding evil. I need to, hang on, there's got to be some other effect here to play with. Why don't you keep talking and I'll play with some effects.
So the next edition of the Geekly Chronicles, I'm trying to do my own echo, is going to be in a couple of weeks' time, actually. We've decided not next week, week, but on the 17th. What is happening? What is happening? What have you done to my stream? What
I'm just playing with effects here.
Excellent. So you're just going to effect while I talk. Excellent. Okay. So in a couple of weeks' time, we will be back with episode 2 of the new series of Geekly. What will we have on the show then? And what the hell have you done to my effects channel?
Yeah, sorry, I was just playing with effects there. So yes, the 17th of April will be the next episode of the Geekly Chronicles. That is 2 weeks today. We'll be live again from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. UK time. So thank you to everyone all over the world who has listened in today. Yes. Please give us a shout out on Twitter or in the chat room where in the world you're actually from, as I know that not all of you are here in the UK with us. Yes. It would be great to know where you're all from.
All our contact details are on the website.
Absolutely. And we kind of want to create a show that is as much for you as it is for us. Had a great time. Have you had a good time?
I've had a fantastic time.
Keep talking.
Great. Okay. can you put my echo up a second? Because okay, sure. Hugh has just suggested something in the chat room.
Go.
Gordon's alive!
Okay.
Yes. That doesn't quite make me Brian Blessed, but I think it's close enough.
I don't get the reference.
Oh my God. Google it.
Okay. James Baxter.
Excellent. Yep. Right.
Anyway, we will talk to you again in... 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yes.
So we will. We'll keep tweeting. We'll keep the chat room alive, and we'll talk to you.
Do get in touch
as when about what we will have on next. Indeed. But we're always keen to have guests on the show. We want people to come along and talk to us about their experiences. So a huge thank you to our guests this week. We had Lucas doing a report for us from China. So thank you very much, Lucas, for that as part of our discussion on net neutrality. We had Tiesu calling in from Australia to talk about his latest chiptune track and a bit of chiptune stuff. We had our tumble fumbler, Catherine. Say hello, Catherine. She was show this week as well, so thank you very much to Catherine for being a part of that as well.
Also a thanks to other Lucas for doing all our snazzy new voiceovers for
us.
Indeed, they've just been chatting on Twitter and decided they need to give themselves nicknames.
The reporter.
Which would make our job a lot easier.
Absolutely, it really would. So thank you very much to everyone that's been a part of the show this week. Thanks to everyone for listening, for being a part of it all. You really have helped make the show brilliant for us this week. So we hope you'll tune in. We hope you continue to be a part of things in the time in between, and we'll talk to you on the 17th.
Indeed.
Stay geekly. Oh God, that's terrible. Let's
that
not
was
say
terrible.
That again.
Do you want to try that again?
Yeah.
Just to, you know. We'll edit that out.
Stay cool. No, what's a good sign off line for a show
really
like this?
I really don't know.
No.
How about goodbye?
Okay. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.